Our scripture lesson this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live." I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Lord God, through your written word that we've just had read to us, speak your new life into us. And if you so choose, I humbly ask that through something you have given me to say today, speak your new life into us. We pray in your holy name. Amen. A variety of biblical stories and our own experience as human beings suggests that we human beings go through our ups and downs in life. God's people have always gone through their ups and downs and always will. They go through good times and hard times, through times that seem so blessed and others that seem so cursed. The biblical record shows that God's people, in one way or another, die and come back to life. They get lost and manage to get found again. They go into the dark and manage to come back into the light. They get sick and they come back into health. They go into exile and then find a way to return. You notice as you read through the Bible, and you probably notice in your own life, that there is this rhythm to human life. The good news, the comfort, the reassurance of our reading from Ezekiel this morning is that God is with God's people and all of us throughout all of it, taking us each time from death to life, from darkness into light, from being lost to being found, from illness to healing, from going into exile to returning. We learn from Ezekiel and from so many others in the Bible that God is the great life giver and is always working to bring God's people back to life. Ezekiel is considered, with Isaiah and Jeremiah, one of the major Hebrew prophets. Based on the number of God-inspired things he said that ended up recorded for us in the Bible. What made Ezekiel different from Isaiah and Jeremiah was that when Israel went through that dark time of getting kicked out of the promised land and having to live in exile in Babylon, Ezekiel went with them and continued to speak to them, certainly God's judgment, but also God's reassurance to them even while they were in exile. And that period, which is called the exile, goes down as one of the worst times of Israelite history. Imagine if you were among the Israelites and you were kicked out of the promised land, which had been years in the making, which you believed that God had given you, and suddenly you lost it. They lost their land, they lost their temple, and suddenly they went through an identity crisis where they had to ask, wow, who are we now if we don't have the land that God had given us or the temple? And we're living in exile with people who have a different religion and a different history. It was a kind of death for Israel. So into this crisis steps God's person, Ezekiel, to speak to this to the people during their time of exile, to reassure them that God is still with them, to reassure them that God is about to give them back their life and bring them back to the promised land. In our story this morning, God is preparing the prophet Ezekiel to preach this message. And God does it by bringing a special mystical visionary experience to Ezekiel. And if you've ever read the book of Ezekiel, you'll know that God and Ezekiel had a very special relationship. And Ezekiel received a number of these very unusual mystical experiences. Well, in this vision, God takes Ezekiel and sets him down in a great valley full of human bones. And the people to whom these bones once belonged apparently have been long dead, because the bones are stripped bare. There's no muscles or tendons or flesh or skin on them. They've been out in the sun a long time and they've been bleached white. Ezekiel gets a good long tour of this valley of dry bones, as if the Lord is trying to impress upon him his own human powerlessness over the bones. Then the Lord asks Ezekiel the great question of our scripture today. Mortal, can these bones live? Ezekiel seems to know right away that the only one who can answer that life and death question is the one who can give life. And that's the Lord God. And that's why Ezekiel says, "Oh Lord God, you know." Well, the Lord does know. And the unspoken answer of the Lord to his own question is that the bones can live. And the Lord starts that life-giving process. And you know how it starts? God recruits a human being to speak on his behalf. And that human being is Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is given words by the Lord to speak to the dry bones. And through that speaking, the prophet creates an expectation of the coming of God's new life to the bones. We learn from this story that when it comes to giving new life, God does all the heavy lifting. When God's people need life, it's God who does it. But God allows human beings to play a modest but essential role in that life-giving process. And God gives that modest but essential role to Ezekiel the prophet. As we all know, words matter in this life. And human words inspired by the Lord matter a great deal. words from inspired by the Lord can create the expectation of the new life that God is bringing. And God can use a human being to let people know that when that new life comes to them, it is God and God alone who has brought it. So Ezekiel, in his first prophecy to the bones, speaks these words as given to him by the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinew on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, as we read this story, we notice that new life comes to the bones, not all at once, but in stages, in phases. Little by little, life comes into the bones. Ezekiel prophesies first, and suddenly sinews, flesh, and skin covers the bones. Then Ezekiel prophesies a second time, and the breath of life comes into those bones. Then we learn that this vision of the dry bones is a practice run for Ezekiel. God is getting him ready to speak to actual Israelites in person. And God tells Ezekiel, now I want you to prophesy not just to the bones, but to the people those bones represent. The people of Israel living in exile in Babylon. The people who are, in a manner of speaking right now, dead, dried up, hopeless, in despair, because they've been booted from the promised land. Their temple has been taken away, and they're living in exile. Ezekiel, at God's direction, builds anticipation among the people of the new life that God will give them. Ezekiel speaks the divine hope into them without ever giving them a timetable. Now, when I read the passage of Ezekiel, I realize that what Ezekiel was called to do for his people at his time, I am also called to do for you as an interim pastor at Unity at this time. To speak the life and hope of God into you as a church in transition during this vulnerable time when you are between installed pastors. So I'm going to do that now. When a church like Unity loses beloved long-term pastors like Carol and Mark, it is like a death in the church. Carol and Mark were here 15 years, and Carol, especially as the lead pastor, was involved in every aspect of your congregational life. And she put her distinctive mark on everything you did together as a church. Her leaving and Mark's leaving did not kill this church, but it certainly staggered it. In the beginning, it was difficult for some of you to imagine Unity apart from Carol and Mark. Carol especially so completely embodied the identity and mission of Unity Church. Her leaving made a number of you wonder who you were as a church anymore and what you were called to do apart from her. You went through an identity and mission crisis together. She had been so integral to your life together as a church. In the immediate weeks following Carol and Mark's departure, life at Unity, I have learned from your stories, was like being in the valley of dry bones. But as I listened to so many of you tell the church's story, the dry bones phase didn't last all that long. It wasn't long until there was a noise, a rattling, and God was bringing the bones together again. And in stages, putting flesh and tendons and skin on those bones and breathing the breath of life back into them again, just as God always does with God's people. Now, I want you to imagine, as I speak of the new life that has come to Unity, imagine a skeleton, and we're going to put muscles and tendons and skin and flesh on it little by little. The new life came to Unity when so many of you as church members started stepping up and doing things that needed to be done during the interim time. First, there was the formation of the transition team, a group of members who stepped forward willing to shepherd this congregation through this transition. Unity Church had been having a series of supply preachers in the pulpit every Sunday, and the team knew that that was probably not going to work for very long. Somewhere in this time, General Presbyter Bobby White put a bug in the ear of the transition team and asked them if they had ever considered calling the Reverend Tricia Lytle as an interim pastor. The transition team started considering her and eventually called her to that position. And my sense is that it would be daunting for any pastor to follow Carol at Unity. But as so many of you have told me in your stories, Tricia turned out to be just what the doctor ordered for Unity, and has been so well received here that the session at its January retreat told her unanimously and enthusiastically that they want her to stay at Unity for the foreseeable future and be one of two pastors at this church. Part of the fallout of Carol and Mark's leaving was that the church lost some of its young families and their children and youth, who could not imagine Unity Church apart from Carol. Tricia worked through the session to bring in a consultant to look at the children and youth program, and a team of church members were organized into a renovation team to implement the findings of that consultant. And together they had some success with this and brought back some of those families. Then a mission study team was formed to begin the task of figuring out anew who Unity is, apart from Carol and Mark, what kind of community Denver is, and what Unity is called to do in this community, and what the future holds, and what kind of pastor is most needed for Unity for the future. Then I was brought in to play my usual modest but essential role for a church in transition. You may have noticed that your two pastors are very different. The most obvious is that Tricia's a woman, I'm a man. She's an extrovert, I'm an introvert. She's loquacious, and I'm the quieter one. A week after we began to work together, I said, Tricia, you know what we are? We're the yin and the yang of Unity Church. We both bring life to the church, but we bring it in different ways and in complementary ways. And I believe that it, not just clergy, but every member of the church is called to play a modest but essential role in the church. We all have meaningful work to do in the church. It's modest but essential, and it's meaningful for this church. Then the mission study team completed their work and told the church anew who it is, what it's been called to do, and what kind of pastor it needs for the future. They gave Unity Church a clear vision of the future. And then there was the selection committee that was chosen, and they put together a good cross-section of the congregation to serve on the pastor nominating committee. And then there is the pastor nominating committee 9 people among you who have been called and have been willing to accept the call to finding a new pastor. And let me tell you, that committee that you elected is full of life, and they are not letting any grass grow under their feet. They have already put together the ministry information form that will advertise the position. And as soon as this week, they may have resumes from their first 25 candidates. But always remember, not making any promises for them, because it's a long road to finding the pastor sometime. But I just wanted to let you know that that committee is God's life to this church as well. And then came the debt retirement committee, who are leading us in our efforts called Beyond Mortgage to Ministry. And those, the leaders of our campaign are trying to ensure that this church has the financial strength it needs to live into its own dreams for the church. And this is God's life in an altogether different form. Our debt retirement as a campaign, as I said, is called Beyond Mortgage to Ministry. And I spent some time in the dictionary looking up the word mortgage this week. And I want to tell you what I found. Mortgage is made up of two words, a Latin word, mort, which means death or dead, and gage is an old German word which means pledge. Mortgage, literally speaking, is a death pledge. And those of you who manage debt will know what that means. If anyone lends you money, they want that money back. Even if you die, they want it back and are determined to get it. And so I thought, isn't this a wonderful meaning for our Ezekiel passage today? That through this campaign, we're hoping to move this church from the death of mortgage to the life of ministry. Just as God does in the book of Ezekiel and in the life of the Israelites in exile. I am here today as a modern-day little Ezekiel among you to let you know that God has been at work among you since Carol and Mark left. The two of them gave considerable life to you as a church, but that life-giving has not stopped with their leaving. It continues on through God and through your willingness to do your modest but essential part in that life-giving process. I'm here to bear witness to you this morning. I have heard your stories of this church, and I bear witness by telling those stories back to you this morning. When Carol and Mark left, you were in the valley of the dry bones. But then all of a sudden, there was a noise, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone, and then flesh and sinews and skin appeared on the bones, and God breathed life into those bones. And they lived, and they stood on their feet. A great multitude. Among other things, I've been sent to you to remind you of that and to reassure you that the God who has given you your life back so far will continue to do that, and especially in the next pastor who is on the way to you. Amen.